It's Friday. Let's get your weekend started with the Shoot Around Podcast. Brittany Jones, Jason Collins, and Kevin Walker discuss basketball. From college to the NBA and everything in between, these hosts take their shots right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio, Fridays at 7 p.m.
Around with myself, Brittany Jones, a.k.a. the executive, alongside Jason Collins, a.k.a. Jay Bird, and Kevin Walker, a.k.a. Kevin 11. He finally picked the daggone nickname. Let's go, K-Walk. What's going on, K-Walk and Jay?
All is well. All is well. Everything's good. Everything good. Glad it's Friday. Glad it's Friday.
Indeed. Absolutely. It took K-Walk a minute there to finally pick a nickname, but he settled on one, Kevin 11, so it's all good, man. It's all good.
Appreciate you guys. We got to set up our
one-on-one challenge, because you swear up and down you're going to beat me. Oh, I'm sorry, was that Coach Duck? It was one of them.
Both of us. Coach always said, hey, and he said, one-on-one, I'm picking you every time.
All I know is I want to be there. I'll make a special trip up. I want to be there for that.
All right. So for those who's listening over the radio, thank you always. And then those who's watching us on YouTube, please subscribe to us at the Shoot Around with our initials, the Shoot Around BJK podcast on YouTube. So please subscribe, like, and check those notification bells. I know that's a whole new thing now. But y'all ready to talk some basketball?
Yes. Let's put it on.
All right, let's talk some basketball. So I know, Jay, we was going to wait for your segment to talk about this, but I just want to get this out the way. All right, we're going to get this out the way. Yes, y'all, my Sixers lost. My Sixers lost to the Heat. Okay, see, there go K-Walk. If you're watching on YouTube, he's showing off his Miami Heat. Remember, K-Walk, you're not the championship yet. You got to still get through the Eastern Conference Finals, so remember that. But my Sixers lost. It's all good. 99-90 to the Heat last night. I just want to know your thoughts on Harden primarily, because it might be a big situation there, and the rest of what happened. Jay, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, you know what? For me, Harden is who I thought he was. You know, when he was on the Nets, I was watching him really closely, and I was saying, look, this guy is not the same James Harden that was in Houston. And we heard Embiid echo those same thoughts at the press conference last night. He's no longer 28-8
wow.
James Harden.
Right.
He's not going to get you that. He's now 18-6 James Harden. So if you're Philly and you can live with that, then bring him back, because he's still a super talented player. But I don't think you can throw a boatload of money at this guy and overpay him. So I think the Sixers mm-hmm. have some tough decisions to make as far as that goes. And then I think the other question, too, and look, I know people jump on this bandwagon a lot, but I've been hearing whispers about Doc Rivers. Like, is he the right guy to lead this team? So Philly's mm-hmm. got some tough decisions to make. But, look, I think anytime you have the big man in the middle, Joel Embiid, that's a great starting point, and you just got to get the right pieces around him. But I will say, I think it was a very disappointing end for the Sixers this year. I mean, championship aspirations and then losing in the second mm-hmm. round, that's got to be disappointing for Philly fans.
Well, before K-Walk, before I had you chime in and do your gloating and all that other stuff, I'm gonna answer my own question first. You know what? To answer your question that you had about Doc Rivers is the head coach. They already cleared that up today. They say he's the head coach for next year. Rightly so. You know what, I say give him one more year. This will be the first year hopefully he has some real stability. There's no constant trades going on. It's not a whole bunch of nonsense going on. So hopefully this will allow him to get some real stability and he can really coach this team. hopefully everybody comes back healthy. It was kind of unfortunate that Joel Embiid got elbowed in the eye and it broke his orbital bone. And then he had issues with his thumb, which you could kind of tell a little bit after he was fighting through it. So I give him credit because when he came back, even in the third game, I'm sorry, he still wasn't himself. Now, James Harden. James freaking Harden. Something's up with James Harden, guys. Something's going on. I don't know exactly what's going on with this guy because most of the time it's the problem of he's shooting too much. He's taken away from his teammates. Now he didn't shoot at all, I think, not at all in the second half. What is going on? Is he up to something? Is he trying to do something? What's going on? He understood that this was a contract year for him, basically. He understood that this was a max, him getting that super max deal was at in state, and he did not perform up to par whatsoever. Now, the thing with the Sixers team, it's not that they lack talent. They may not have the depth on the team, but they definitely don't lack talent. I think it's a mental toughness. They don't have that mental toughness that you need, that P.J. Walker.
Yeah.
P.J. Tucker, not Walker. Where did I get the word from? P.J. Tucker, that on the Bucks. I forgot. Bobby Portis is, you know, the guy that does kind of the dirty work for the team. You know, Al Horford for the Celtics. So, I mean, like I've been telling you guys this entire time, because K-Walk, I know for sure, I told you yesterday, I did not have faith in the Sixers. I feel like they need a full season to really get acclimated with one another, to really understand each other, and hopefully get some new pieces in here to see how this goes. So this is going to be an interesting offseason for the Sixers. But I will say kudos to the Heat. They did play some great defense, some very good defense. And at the same time, it's on the fault of the Sixers. That's why they lost, because nobody was moving. How do you stay stagnant? Nobody's moving. This is game six. This elimination game, take it more serious. But you can see, again, the energy. Remember I told you guys, especially Jay, about the next game. First 5 minutes, I could tell they was going to lose. Same thing with the last two games here. I was like, this is not it. Danny Green went out. I texted you guys and said, this is over.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
That's rough.
We'll see what happens next year. You always got another year, but the hope is that Joel Embiid can stay healthy again. Okay, well.
Yeah, I mean, Steph, I'm not going to gloat, Britt. You know I don't do that. I mean, I like you said a few weeks ago on the show, and I stay quiet, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm staying quiet. I'm softly carrying a loud stick. But anyway. I don't know what happened with the Sixers from game four to last night's game. I just don't know what happened. It was just like they just completely shut down. They lost all power in that machine, if you will, because that game three and game four, I'm like, okay, these guys are really, you know, they're really energetic. They were moving around. They were playing defense. Maxie looked like a different caliber type of player. Joel Embiid, as much as he was, you know, he's playing hurt. I'm not going to say injured because we know the difference between hurt and injured is hurt you can go, injured you can't. And he was just a phenomenal, just an inspiration guy, man. I don't know what happened. I don't know where the disconnect came to be between game four, game five, and then ultimately game six. I think something was said there. I don't know what happened in the locker room. They're keeping it in-house. You know, they're not airing their dirty laundry, but there is some laundry out there that needs to be cleaned for sure in that Sixers organization. Don't know what happened with Harden. I don't know how you have that game that you had in game four, and then you're not even taking a shot. Or you took two shots, I think it was the second half last night. I don't know how you do that. And they were in a great position to win this series. They tied it up. So I don't understand, you know, what happened there. They just totally shut down. And I think that the Heat kind of sensed that too, because when they shut down Kyle Lowry, I'm like, okay, they're shutting down. And Kyle Lowry showed that he could play through that injury or that I guess we're going to call it injury because he didn't play, in game five and six. But, in game four, he gave it his all. And he was clearly hurt, and he was sitting out there, going out there and playing as much as he possibly could. Something happened there. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Jay, you brought up a great point with Doc Rivers. There are rumors out there that Jay Wright Villanova, that Villanova guy, he resigned from Villanova, and there's rumors out there that he may be the next head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm just going by what I don't have reliable sources, but I am hearing rumblings right now that Jay Wright might be that next guy.
Okay, well, don't make
Joel
me
Andy,
smile. I love
oh,
Jay Wright.
Okay.
Don't
okay.
make me smile.
I just heard. I'm just
don't
simply saying I heard it. Don't hold me to it. Don't hold me to it because my sources also told me something else about football, but we're talking basketball. But anyway, I've been hearing that, and that might be a really good look for the 76ers. Doc said he's good with it. You know, I love Joel Embiid, man. This guy doesn't pull any punches, man. He has no filter. And I love it, man. I love it. He said, listen, this is not the same James Harden that we saw in Houston. He knew that. And, I love Joel Embiid, man, for that. And, and Jimmy Butler said, he's his guy. So, maybe there's something going on there. Maybe, hey, maybe Joel Embiid may want to bring his – take his talents
don't
down to South.
Don't even try it.
I'm just saying.
Well, Joel Embiid is not going anywhere, and I think you know that. If anything, Jimmy Butler
I don't know. Hey, I'm a conspiracy. I'm a conspiracy theorist.
If the Heat don't win, I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy Butler ended up back in Philadelphia.
He's got 2 years left on his deal. So he's 3 years or another year. But you wouldn't take Tyler Hero. You wouldn't take Tyler. He might be in that trade talk. Nah, you wouldn't take him. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Not straight up. I'm talking about whatever package deal. Either one, they're going to be in the mix in the trade.
Oh, so we just.
I don't know what else they're going to give up. I don't know. But nonetheless, okay. I'm just joking though. But going back to
everybody
the
you got for Joel Embiid.
I don't know about all that, but they can make it something work. But we'll talk about it later, Dave. But nonetheless, I just don't know what happened with the Sixers. When Danny Green went down, shout out to Danny Green, Tar Heel guy. Hope he gets better. That looked nasty. It was friendly fire, unfortunately. But at the same time, the Sixers have to, wonder what's the next move. I think they're going to do a lot of house cleaning, if you will, for sure.
Yeah, you're right. But this is like I said, it's definitely going to be an interesting offseason for the Sixers. So let's see how this goes. But good luck to the Heat. I'm actually going to root for the Heat only because of Jimmy Butler. If Jimmy Butler wasn't on that squad, I'm not rooting for him. But I love Jimmy Butler that much that I'm going to root for the Heat. Although I do still have the Bucks going to the finals. So, but we'll see what happens. And on that
real,
note, guys,
real quick, Britt. Real quick, something interesting about the Sixers, two things. Number one, I thought it was interesting that Doc had to coach effort. Like, you shouldn't have to coach effort. And we saw it in the last two games, him having to coach effort. Like, the guys didn't understand the urgency of the moment. And then the other thing, Britt, question for you. Do you expect Harden to be back? I mean, what's your feel on that? Do you think he's coming back? Was he self-sabotaging by not taking shots? What do you think about Harden?
I absolutely think he self-sabotaged that Supermax contract he thought he was going to get. And Daryl Morey would think twice about it if he's considering it. Don't do that in this city. This is not Houston. We will burn you down. Not literally, guys. Just figuratively. Not literally. I don't take that serious. We will come with our picks. Our pitches and our forks and whatever other stuff and start marching and protesting in front of your house. It's a different city. You guys know y'all from South Jersey, so you know how Philly fans are. But I don't know what's going on with Harden. I honestly don't. From like I said earlier, from a guy that loves to shoot the ball, loves to control the ball, he takes no shots. So something is going on, something that we'll probably find out a little bit later exactly what's going on. Hopefully it'll come out so we know, but this is not even with Brooklyn. Like he was just with Brooklyn. He was making shots and not even making them. He was shooting those shots. So this is something interesting. But I know for sure he knows that he's not about to get that max contract after playing like this. He's going to opt in into his contract. We know that. So he's going to get the 47 for next year. But they're going to have to see how this goes because you gave too much form. So you gave up too much for him. So, like I said, let's see what happens with a full off season. If his hamstring is bothering him still, do what you need to do in the off season. You better come back fit. This seems like a place you want to be. You said you want to be here. Even in the press conference last night, you said you want to be here. So do what you need to do and just come back better next year. Let's hopefully he does it. If not, Philly is definitely going to be like, get him out of here. So we giving you a chance into next season because we know we don't have a choice. After next season, if it don't work out, get him out of here because we don't want to move Joel Embiid. So that's
it. Did you say 47 next year?
47 and a half.
Oh, mercy. Oh, yeah. My goodness. That's a high price right there, man.
I mean, that's the contract Houston gave him. They gave him that. Man. We just traded for it. But that's only 1 year, so it is what it is. All right, guys, we're going to head into our first break. Then when we come back, we got to talk about this NBA MVP. Jay, I really got to get your thoughts on this. K-Walk, I know we talked about this yesterday, but I want our shoot-around family to get your thoughts on it as well. And then I got some other questions for you, some top five forgotten NBA stars. Let's see. I want to know what your top five are. But you guys are listening to The Shoot Around with myself, Brittany Jones, alongside Jason Collins and Kevin Walker right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Hey, guys, this is Jaquan J. Kelly, a.k.a. Jamel Iwees, Master Killer of Wu-Tang and American Saga on Hulu. You're listening to The Shoot Around with Brittany Jones, Jason Collins, and Kevin Walker. They're taking a break, and they'll be right back.
Your skin isn't just skin. It's a beautiful reflection of every single thing you've been through in life. Which is why Dove Body Wash renews your skin's ceramides and strengthens it against dryness. For instantly softer, smoother skin, you can lovingly embrace. Renew the love for your skin with Dove Body Wash.
Welcome back to The Shoot Around with myself, Brittany Jones, alongside Jason Collins and Kevin Walker right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. All right, guys, now that we got past that terrible Sixers game, and I don't say it's terrible because of my Sixers side, it's okay, though. I want to get into this NBA MVP because they just announced it this past week. It's Denver Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic, if I said his first name, but I'm going to just say Jokic to make sure I say it right. All right, so he finished the season with 27 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, and won 48 games. I believe his team finished with the 6th seed. He is also the first player in NBA history to have 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 500 assists in this season. Jay, I'm going to go to you first on this one. Do you think he should have won the MVP?
The short answer is no. Look, he had a great year. If you look at his numbers, they're phenomenal. And when I first heard that Embiid didn't win it, I was like, man, what are they doing? Like, I felt like Embiid should have been the clear MVP, no questions asked. Then I saw some videos and some people posting about the effect that the Joker has on his team and the amount of points that he's responsible for through scoring and assists and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, I mean, this guy did have a phenomenal year, but the NBA's MVP, it's, you know, it doesn't always go to, like, the guy with the best numbers or the guy who has the most dominating year. It's sort of like a take turns kind of thing, and I thought because Joker won it last year, it was definitely Embiid's time to win it this year, and look, Embiid had a great season. I thought it was going to be his turn. But then when I dug into some of the numbers, I couldn't be that upset that the Joker won it because he did have a heck of a year as well. But if I was voting, I would have voted for Embiid.
K-Walk, what you say?
Yeah, I'm just going to echo what I said last night on your show on the sports. She Knows Sports with yourself and Princess Cooper. It's basically I get it's a regular season award. I just felt like Embiid had a more of an impact, for his team. I get, you know, they're
their reasoning for him getting the award is that he did more with less. In that sense, you know, Denver Nuggets that got into the playoffs, you know, Jokic had the numbers that Jay's mentioned. He had the numbers that he had. You know, Joel Embiid was on a team that was, you know, arguably, you know, favored to win, you know, to at least get to the NBA Finals or at least the Eastern Conference Finals. So, you know, they kind of took that away from him. I didn't think it was a race, to be honest with you. I mean, I thought it was a race, but I just thought that he would, you know, he really ran away with that. To be honest with you, I didn't have Joker in my top three, top four. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I had Giannis in there. I had Morant in there as well. I didn't have Joker anywhere near the first place. Well, now let alone, I mean, in the top three, let alone the winner. But you know, you mentioned, and I think you're going to get into that, you know, about analytics, and that's something that you know they might take in consideration or have taken into took in consideration. So I'll get,
sure.
definitely leave that up to you. Talk. Mm-hmm. I know you're an analytic person. Britt, and I won't dive into that. I'll leave that up to you. But yeah, I really thought that Embiid did the way that he played, the way that he led his team. I mean, inside, outside, mid-range defense. I mean, you can't tell me that Joker is a better defensive player than Embiid. I'm not going to buy it.
Right.
You can break it down any times. I mean, any way you want to. I'm just not going to believe mm-hmm. that Joker is a better all-around player than Embiid. And that's why I was surprised that he did not get that call, that vote, if you will.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I just think we're in the world filled with analytics, and analytics to me doesn't tell the whole story. You know, analytics, you can twist analytics in the direction that you want it to go. You know, I gave an example yesterday, a prime example. Let's say Ben Simmons shot 5 threes in a year, and he made 4 of them. What is that, about 80% or so? And that's all he shot for the whole year. So that means you're telling me he's a better three-point shooter than Steph Curry. Are you out of your mind? That's what analytics will tell you. So that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Everybody wants to go off of analytics, advanced analytics stats. That does not tell you the entire story. Watch the game. Look to see who was more dominating in the games. Even when they went to head-to-head, yes, Denver may have beat the Sixers team, but Jokic couldn't do anything when he went up against Embiid. To me, you have to watch that. So by far, to me, Embiid was absolutely MVP. And another thing with analytics or just people in general, we got to stop looking at only the offensive side of the ball. Defense is a part of the game. Defense is a part of the game. It's a very important part of the game. Yes, Jokic offensively is a great player. Defensively, he struggles. And I don't care how many times you tell me, when a coach within the last 2 minutes of the game has to pull you out of the game because he knows he has bench player that plays defense much better than you, how are you called MVP? MVP should be on the floor no matter what. You should always be on the floor at MVP, as an MVP. So I really question this whole analytics world and going based off of numbers. Because if you did that years ago, MJ may not have the as many MVPs as he has. LeBron
yeah.
may not have them. Kobe may not have them. But we know during those times they were the most dominating force on their team, the best
yep.
overall player on their team. So, yeah, this MVP stuff is starting to become a joke. Yeah, so, yeah, I guess that's the perfect Jokic joke.
Hey, two things. Number one, I think you're right about defense. I think we look too much at the offensive side when people are trying to pick an MVP. The other thing, though, that I think makes it confusing is, like, what is the MVP? Like, is it the most outstanding mm-hmm. player? Is it the guy that impacts his team the most? Is it the best player mm-hmm. on the best team? There's so many convoluted definitions of what the MVP is that I don't
mm-hmm.
even know what guys are really voting for anymore. So I think that
right.
confuses the
exactly.
issue as well. There's no clear-cut definition of what the MVP
mm-hmm.
actually is.
Yeah, they're going to have to correct this and change the voting for the MVP. Have more of the coaches and the players vote or something like that. More people who are part of the game more versus the news people, media. I know we're a part of that or whatnot, but let's be real. We tend to vote for, not us in particular, but New people tend to vote for who they like, some happy at the end of the day. And B is not necessarily the most likable guy because he trolls a lot of people. Jokic does.
Yeah.
Jokic plays and he goes home, you don't ever hear from him. But you can't vote. You can't determine your MVP vote off of that. So, but that's absolutely going to have to change. But, guys, because we're coming almost towards the end of my segment, and I have to get this in. I've been trying to get this in for the last 3-4 weeks or something. I just haven't taken it out my segment. But I really want to know, because there have been so many players in the NBA, stars, role players, and a lot of people forget a lot of these players. So I really want to know your top five forgotten former NBA stars or role players. I'm going to make it easier for you because I was just going to say stars, but make it easier to say role players. Jay, I'm going to have you go first on this one. Who are your top five forgotten former NBA stars or role players?
This was tough because they're forgotten for a reason. So it was hard to go back and find some of these guys. And you had put this in the you know, show notes like the last 3 weeks. I think my list has changed like every single week when I go back and try to research this. But one guy that was on it every single time, and these are in no particular order. Y'all remember Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Chris Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Played at LSU and then had a good career in the NBA. He was a great three-point shooter, man. He was one of those guys that started shooting from range like before Steph Curry and Clay and some of those guys. So I had Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf on my list. Britt, you might be too young for this one, but Kay Walker, remember. What about Vinny the Microwave Johnson?
Wait, Johnson,
I remember when he used to come in for the Pistons, and obviously, K-Walk, we were rooting for the Bulls at the time and
Bulls,
all those
right.
heated battles. So I got Vinny the Microwave Johnson on my list. How about Steve Francis? Steve Francis was
a really good
NBA player, but you don't really hear anybody ever talk about him. Stephon Marbury, I mean, look, when him and AI were coming out, they were, like, deciding who was going to be better, Marbury or AI. And AI is obviously a legend now. And Marbury, like, he's more famous in China than he is here in the United States. So, and then my last one, I'm going to go with Eddie Jones. He was a Laker. He might have played for the Heat, too. Did he play for the Heat, K-Walk?
Yeah, he played for the Heat. He won a championship
Eddie Jones was a really athletic, good NBA player. So those are my five. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Vinny the Microwave Johnson, Stevie Francis, Stephon Marbury, and Eddie Jones.
What about you, K-Walk?
Yeah, I'm. You know what? This was a tough one for me too. I mean, wow, like Jay said, I'm sorry, guys, if my mic is not on Zoom. I'm trying to adjust it. I apologize, guys. I'm trying to adjust that as I speak. I'm going to start with my guy, Tony Kukoc, man. Tony Kukoc is one of those guys from the Bulls, that 90s, you know, that second three-peat for the Bulls. You know, we don't hear anything about him. Yeah, we saw him in the Last Dance. But other than that, we don't really talk about Tony. And I thought Tony was a legitimate guy, especially, you know, during that time that Mike was out. You know, we all know when Mike was playing basketball and Phil Jackson called the last play in that one game for Tony Kukoc, and Scottie Pippen didn't take too kindly to that. Also I got my man Dennis Johnson from the Celtics, late great Dennis Johnson. I couldn't stand him in the 80s, man. He was just a phenomenal player, man. I mean, just really just fit that team perfectly. Just I really did. You know, his ability to shoot the threes, his ability to play defense, and just get under your skin, if you will. Another guy, man, is another Dennis, D3. We called him, D3. That's Dennis Smith from the Orlando Magic. You know, he fit well with Shaq and Penny and Nick Anderson and those guys. So 3D was my guy as well. Another guy, I don't understand why this guy doesn't get enough credit, but I really went back. And not too far back, but Adrian Dantley. Adrian Dantley was a guy from the Pistons that he just had a phenomenal. He was as fundamentally sound as probably anyone in the league in the history of the game. Adrian Dantley was one of my guys there. Another guy is Byron Russell, man. I don't think he gets enough credit. Byron Russell from the Utah Jazz. I can't even cry. I know he gets knocked for that push off, but he was really a really good defender and hit threes for the Utah Jazz when he needed it. So I went with Byron Russell there. So those are my top three. Not necessarily, like Jay said, not in any particular order, but I went with them nonetheless.
All right. So mine's, I went a little newer here. I thought of maybe one. Well, he's like 90 or so. I can only remember so far back. I was like, too many players going on here. So my first one, you know what? I just threw him on here because I still think he doesn't get enough respect nowadays, still Dwight Howard. I know he's not forgotten necessarily. I think people forgot how tough and dominating he was at one point in his career, primarily with the Orlando Magic and then with the Lakers, although him and Kobe didn't get along too well. But mainly with the Orlando Magic, he was an unstoppable force. So for all the young guys out there, young kids out there who's like, Dwight Howard, go look him up on YouTube when he played with Orlando Magic, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And then I went with Monte Ellis. Remember Monte Ellis?
Yeah.
Before Steph Curry got to the Warriors and how much of how hard he was to stop. Because he was so fast and athletic on the offensive side of the ball. He could do everything. He could shoot. He had great ball handling skills. And he was quick. Like, he was literally an elite scorer before Steph Curry got there. And then they ended up trading Monte Ellis because they wanted Steph to become the star of the team, which, I mean, makes sense. Look at Steph now. But Monte Ellis.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
yes.
a good one.
Yeah. And then same thing with you, Jay. I went with Eddie Jones. So I'm not going to go over everything he did, but he was a great. He was one of the original 3-and-D guys from the 90s. And then I'm going to go with Amari Stoudemire. A lot of people don't talk about him enough. He played with the Suns and then the Knicks, but when he was with Steve Nash, tough guy, slam it in your face and then fix his goggles or whatnot he used to wear. So I used to love watching him play, very athletic, and he was just tough. He was tough. And then my last guy, the original, not the original Indiana Pacers, but the Indiana Pacers from the early 2000s, Danny Granger.
Danny Granger.
That's another
person that
nobody talks about. They just forgot. He really was a star. I think he won most improved player. He was an all-star, and he averaged about 25 points per game for two straight seasons. He was a very efficient scorer, but I think he got hurt, which kind of derailed his career a little bit. So those are my top five: Danny Granger, Amari Stoudemire, Monte Ellis, Dwight Howard, and Eddie Jones. All right. Jay, you mind if I take like an extra couple minutes to go over the draft battle real fast?
Take it. We got to do the draft. I worked hard on that. Right. We got to do it.
Seriously.
All right, guys. So I got this new thing I wanted to do. It's not really new, but I wanted to do a draft battle. So what I did is I chose four drafts. It's only two rounds. Well, three rounds, I guess you could say. So it's kind of like a versus battle. So the first one's going to be 1996 versus 2003. Then it's going to be 1984 versus 1985. And whoever we think is the winner out of those two groups, then they get a little draft battle. And we ultimately determine who we think was the best draft. All right. So the first one, 1996 versus the draft of 1996 versus 2003. For those who don't know, AI came out of 96 draft. LeBron came out of the 03 draft. K-Walk, you want to take this one first? Who you got out of 96 and 03?
All right. So 96, I can take any player for either one of those drafts, correct? First, right? Okay. So I'm going to go with Kobe Bryant. I'm going to take Kobe Bean Bryant, number one.
Oh, no. So which draft do you think is better, the 03 or the 96 draft?
Oh, I thought we were doing a draft. Okay.
Not a draft.
I saw Jay's face. Jay was like, what are you talking about? I'm going to go Jay's face. Yeah, it was priceless, bro. It was priceless. I'm going to All right, draft. Yeah, I'm going to – I have to take the 2003, Jeff. I mean, as much as I love Kobe Bryant, I mean, you got LeBron James there. You got Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, D. Wade. Let me see who else was – someone else was in there. Yeah. I like the 2003. You got Ray Allen there, Stephon Marbury. Yeah, I'm still going to stick with the 2003 draft.
Jay, what you say?
That's the –
Look, I'm not mad at it, K-Walk, because when you look at 03, you got LeBron, Melo, Bosh, and Wade.
Yeah.
Like, those are four. That's four great players right there. But other than that, like, the next best guys were, like, David West and Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at 96, they might not have four great players, but that is a deep, deep draft. You got Kobe, you got AI, you got Marcus Camby, Sharif Abdur-Rahim, Stephon Marbury,
mm-hmm.
Ray Allen, Antoine Walker, Steve Nash, Jermaine O'Neal. Like, that was a deep, deep draft. So I guess it depends on what you want. Do you want the four guys
at
the top?
Yeah, I want quality. I want the quality.
AI and Kobe. AI and Kobe, and then everybody else. So I'm going 96, man. Kobe and AI.
I'm going quality.
A bunch of really
quality.
Good players.
Yeah, I'm going quality.
Give me 96, Britt.
All right. Yay. You know, for me, I love the 2003 draft, but it's just not as deep. There's no depth to it. The depth starts going to Boris Diaw. Where is he at? and Leandro Barbosa.
Where's any of them?
He went back to Brazil, I think. But I got to go with 96. You got AI, you got Kobe, and then you go deeper. Derek Fisher came out in that draft.
Yeah.
Ilgauskas came out in that draft. Eric Dampierre, I don't know if I said his last name right, he came out in that draft. Peja Stojakovic. Like, these were all great or decent players. And I think Peja was technically considered a star for the Sacramento Kings for a little bit.
Yeah.
So that depth in that 96 draft is just something different. So I got to go 96 on that one. All right. So 96 wins for that round. And then second round, we got 1984 versus 1985. So just to give you guys a heads up who's listening, MJ, Michael Jordan came out in 84. Patrick Ewing came out in 85. Jay, I'm going to start with you on this one. Who you got?
You know, kind of like the last one, I don't think 84 is that deep. You got Hakeem the Dream. You got MJ, Sam Perkins, Charles Barkley, and John Stockton. Like, those are the five. I kept going down the list, and there were a lot of people I never heard of. 85, you got Patrick Ewing, Chris Mullin, Charles Oakley, Detlef Schrempf, Karl Malone, Joe Dumars, A.C. Green. So there's more depth there, but I ain't picking against MJ's draft. Like, this dude's the greatest of all time. So, and the Dream and Charles Bart. I mean, those are some really good players. So I'm going to go against my own logic from the first time. And this time I'm taking the quality. I'm going 84 on this one.
All right, K-Walk, what you say?
I'm sticking with my quality theory, man. I'm going 84. I mean, you got the Dream, who I think is the best center in the history of the game. You got MJ, who I think the best player in the history of the game. You got Charles Barkley. You got Sam Perkins, Big Smooth. I'm going to have to justify my pick here. I didn't do a great job of doing that last round. You got Otis Thorpe, Kevin Willis as well. You got John Stockton, argument of the best point guard of all time. So you got John Stockton there as well. So I think I did a better job this round than I did last round, but I'm going 84 draft for sure.
You know what? This is going to be unanimous on this one. I got to go 84. A draft with MJ and Hakeem Olajuwon, like, that speaks for itself. And, of course, you guys throw Charles Barkley just not out of respect, but John Stockton and those in that nature. It's just so hard to go against them. Even if you don't know any players on either draft, it is very hard to go against MJ and Hakeem Olajuwon. It really honestly
is. Yeah.
So, all right, guys, last round. For all the marbles. Of the best draft ever. And don't be biased because you're an MJ fan now. Be fair. 96. No, I'm sorry. Let's do it in order. 1984 NBA draft versus 1996 NBA draft.
I'm sticking with 84. I mean, MJ is that guy. I'm sticking with 84. I know Kobe in there, and y'all talked about the depth there. I'm taking the quality over the quantity. The Dream is, like I said, the Dream is, in my opinion, he's in my top five starting starting five of all time. And the names I just mentioned, you got MJ, you got Barkley there, you got John Stockton in there. So I'm sticking with 84 for sure.
Okay. What about you, Jay?
It's tough because I argued so well for the 96 draft the first time because they're so deep, you know, all the great players we mentioned. But when MJ is sitting on the other side, I mean, this guy changed basketball. And then you got the Dream, you got Sir Charles. It's, man, but look, Kobe and AI are no slouches. I mean, they're right there on that same tier, but I got to go 84. And Britt, I have a feeling you're going to go 96, but I got to go 84 here.
Yeah.
Oh, this one was tough for me, but I didn't want to be the MJ, the greatest of all time. I really try to take the depth into consideration. How many All-Stars really came out of each draft? How many Hall of Famers came out of each draft? So forth and so forth. So because of that, that's the only reason why I got to go with 96. I got to go with 96, not because that's the primary era that I watch, but, again, you got AI. Pound for pound. Nah, no. Pound for pound, the best player to ever play the game. And he changed the culture of the game. Stephon Marbury, I don't think he gets enough credit for what he did. He was a very good player, very, very good player. Right. Ray Allen, people forget how Ray Allen played when he first came in the league, especially when he was with the Supersonics. They don't have the Supersonics no more, but when he was with the Supersonics, he wasn't just a scorer. He was dunking on everybody. He was doing everything.
Right.
Kobe, of course, and that's another thing. You know, Kobe completely modeled his game after MJ, so that was kind of the – he was the 96 MJ. Kobe is the 96 MJ, basically, right? And then you got Jermaine O'Neal. People forget about Jermaine O'Neal.
Oh,
his
my God, I love that
and
should put him
and
in my top five forgotten players.
He was tough. Like, he was tough and gritty, and you needed that guy. And then Derek Fisher. You know, I wasn't a huge Derek Fisher fan, because, you know, I'm not a Lakers fan, but I got to give Derek Fisher credit. He got five chips, just like Kobe got five chips. Granted, they was on the same team, but he ended up being a great player. So I got to go 96. But to be all fair, the shoot-around has agreed that the 84 NBA draft is the best draft class of all time. So there you go.
I was just looking it up real quick. Both of them, 96 and 84, have four Hall of Famers. But I think you're right, Britt. 96 has more All-Stars and things
all-stars.
Like that. So you're not far off with your pick, but it's going to be hard for me and K-Walk to ever pick against MJ. It's going to be hard.
Facts. Childhood idol, man. Childhood idol.
All right, guys. We got to head into our next break because thank you to Jay. I was able to run over into his segment just to get through that draft class. But we got some more fun coming on. And, Jay, if you need an extra 10 minutes, I know the Boston Bucks game's on right now, but if you need a little bit of time, you can always take it, all right?
All right.
But when we come back, Jay's going to take over. You guys are listening to the Shoot Around with myself, Brittany Jones, alongside Jason Collins and Kevin Walker right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
You're inside Never Had It So Good Sports Radio with Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports.
Hey, need your W-2s, 1099s, processed, printed, and mailed? Email us today at 1040@javistax.com, 1040@javistax.com, or call 803-419-1001, 803-419-1001.
I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am.
Brittany Jones, Kevin Walker, and Jason Collins right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. All right, guys, let's talk a little bit more NBA here. I don't really want to get into a game breakdown or anything like that, but just some quick thoughts on some of these other series that are going on. So Bucks-Celtics is happening right now. That game probably just tipped off a few minutes ago. I feel like all losses are not created equal. And I think the loss in Game 5 by the Celtics, I feel like that loss might have some carryover tonight. They were up big, and then they end up losing that game in the final minutes. Those are the kind of losses that can really hurt a team. So, K-Walk, did Boston let one get away, and then how do you see Game 6 playing out tonight?
Yeah, Jay, I thought they let two of them get away, but the last game for sure – I thought they let it get away from them. I mean, you got two guys. I mean, you know you want to attack the basket, and you know you want to attack the boards. But those two guys were attacking the basket. You know, a little too much, or fighting with themselves for sure. That definitely got away from them. All they had to do was just grab that rebound, and then we're talking about free throw shooting contest from there. And I thought that it would probably been in the favor of Boston Celtics. So that's a hard one to swallow, Jay. It's a difference between being up 3-2 and being down 3-2. I don't know if it's going to be a carryover, Jay, but the Bucks have that crowd, man, and Giannis is coming out there. They smell the blood in the water, as I mentioned last night with you, Britt, that the Heat smelled that the blood in the water, versus the Sixers. I think this is the same type of situation, but I do think it's going to be a little bit different. You're going to see a more of a fight from the Celtics than you did from the Sixers last night. So these guys know that they're equipped to win a championship. So I mean, in the Celtics, so I think that they're going to ultimately. I'm putting my money on the Celtics tonight for sure.
Yeah, watching the series, it feels like Boston's the better team. Like, I'm just, especially with Chris Middleton not playing, like, it feels like Boston has really been the better team, but obviously, they're down 3-2. Britt, what chance do you give them tonight? Do you think they can win on the road?
Well, I know for sure. Yes, if you're watching the YouTube, I rep my 76ers all day, every day. Let's know this for sure. But I know for darn sure Boston is not going out how the Sixers went out, okay? They're not going out that way. Now, they might lose, but they're going to lose swinging. They're going to go down swinging. So they definitely going to put up a fight. If you look at the previous matchup from the last series, even this series, when they're struggling, they always maybe have Al Horford or somebody is rooting them on, trying to make this thing go into a positive direction. They usually turn it around. Last game was just really tough. Marcus Smart got blocked
just
by Jrue Holiday, which was a great move. But I think Boston will definitely play a lot better. As far as winning, I'm not sure if they're going to win this game because, let's be real, the last game, the main reason why they won, not just because Jrue Holiday made such a great defensive play or whatnot, they have Giannis. Giannis is their motivator.
Yeah.
Giannis is an awesome motivator. He motivates himself and he motivates his team. When I look over between him and his brother, they're always rallying the team together, like, come on, we got this, let's go. And that's exactly what they did. So tonight, I just think Giannis is going to want to end it. I'm not 100% sure, but whoever comes out of this series, he's got a tough matchup. They got a tough matchup to deal with in that next series. So, but if I had to choose, I'm gonna go with the Bucks.
Yeah. Look, hey, you mentioned Al Horford. Let's shout out Al. This guy, he's gone back into a time machine. He's been absolutely fantastic. And they were saying that the Celtics might get some help from their big man tonight. That he might have been coming back. Is it Williams? I think it is. His name isn't. Coming to me, but they said he might play tonight. So if he does, that's going to give Boston some added help that they need. All right, let's talk about another series that's a little bit surprising. I don't know anyone who was really giving Dallas a chance against Phoenix. We've got a 3-3 series. Luka and them boys will not go away quietly. What do you think, Britt? I mean, game seven, how's this thing going to play out?
Can I say Luka with a capital L? Says he shook it the last game. He said we are not going out that way, and they destroyed the Suns in the last game. and I had the Suns going to the championship, and I'm really starting to question that now. Because Chris Paul, he's been struggling a little bit here. But you know what? I'm a rally around the Suns. I'm going to get faith in Chris Paul. I think they're going to pull it out. I think Devin Booker is going to hopefully be D-Book again. And DeAndre Jordan hopefully will show up behind Chris Paul's leadership. Chris Paul been here before, and he really wants this championship. So I think the Suns are going to pull it out. But, man, the Mavericks with Luka, they're going to be a force to reckon with, especially after this season. And he's only like 22, 23. That's the crazy part.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's scary that he's so young and plays with so much poise and confidence. You can't speed him up. He just plays his game. Okay, Walk, what do you think, man? Game sevens, you know how that goes. Anything can happen. How do you see that one playing out?
Yeah, Jay, I mean, when you look at this team, man, as far as the Mavericks, I call them Luka and the Mavericks, man. I mean, they're putting on a great show right now. This is a great band, if you will. They're playing on a big stage, and then they're showing their talents. You know, last week we couldn't even think of another player off of the top of our heads, you know, after Luka. You know, you of course you got, you know, Jalen Brunson now. Now you're starting to know these guys. Now these names are starting to, you know, be embedded in your head. So, yeah, it's one of those games. It's one of those series. Where, like, I'm going with the Suns, though, because of the fact of the matter is they're at home. Kind of what Brittany alluded to, you got Chris Paul, who's hungry. You got Devin Booker, you know, those guys, Ayton, Cam Johnson. And Monty Williams is not going to allow these guys to, you know, to go down. And again, they're at home. So I'm giving them an advantage here. But it's not going to be easy, Jay. Even though all that mentioned and they're at home, I still think that the Mavericks are going to go down, you know, with their best hit, if you will. You know, if Luka and the Magic are going to come in there and bring and sing their best hit, and then hopefully that'll get, you know, propel them to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you guys. I'm going to pick the Suns too, but look, I think it's going to be a really entertaining and close game. All right, I felt like the Warriors really blew an opportunity the other night. Like, no Ja Morant, and they just get their doors completely blown off. Now, you know, they've given the Grizzlies some life, and you know, we've got a big Game 6 coming up. Britt, what do you think about this one?
Whoo, then they beat the Then they beat them by like 52 or something crazy.
I thought
the Sixers had an embarrassing loss. No, they blew us by miles. And nobody was hurt on the Warriors. This is why I had the Memphis Grizzlies as one of the contenders in my top three contendings prior to the end of the season. They're showing you because they actually played, to me, better defense, but Ja is not there. It's like they play as more of a whole when he's not there. This is not to say Ja is not part of that whole. Yes, when he's there, they play just as good, but to me, it's just something they get motivated, or maybe that's Ja on the sideline motivating, like, hey, guys, you guys can kill him. But their defense elevates. They elevate their defense, and then they get scoring from about four or five different guys. I think I look at the stat sheet, at least three guys had, I think, 21 points. That's crazy. Three unknown guys. And that's why, for those who rooted for Jay's team last week, that's why I chose Desmond Bain. But go check his highlights. for a comment on YouTube. Oh, Jay got the best team. No, you don't. I got the best team. Just letting y'all know. I'm sorry. All right. But –
hey, the comments don't lie, Britt.
this is definitely going to be an interesting one. I'm gonna go with Memphis. It's something I like Memphis. I might be dead wrong, and I'm completely going out there for this one. But I'm gonna go with Memphis on this one. I'm taking Memphis.
Hey, look, they've been great all year without Ja. I think at one point they were like 18-2 when Morant is out of the lineup. So they're definitely used to playing without him. Kate Walk, what do you think, man? Game 6, you give the Grizzlies a shot?
Nah. I'm going to give them a shot, yeah. But I don't see them pulling it off, though. I don't see them pulling it off. I know, you know, the numbers, everything, you know, you guys love the analytics. I can care less about all that. I know the Memphis on paper are, but, you know, from the number standpoint, are better without Ja. I just can't buy that. So with that being said, you know, the Warriors, doing their thing at home, I have to go with the Warriors. They've been here. I just really think that they're just bored. And there's, like I mentioned on Wednesday night on my show, I think that the Warriors are kind of like a cat when you're playing with a dead mouse. You know, you just smack it around, you know, smack it around until you're ready to eat it. And I just think that's what the Golden State Warriors are right now. They're just a team that's just ready. You know, they're bored right now. You know, now they're ready to eat now. Now they understand that it's getting late. Right now, getting late early, so they got to eat that mouse now, and I think they ultimately will eat the mouse for sure.
All right, good stuff. Yeah, I think we're going to get a more focused Warriors team for sure.
Yeah.
So I think I like Golden State in this one too. I'm gonna be with you on that one, K-Walk. All right, guys. Look, we've talked about we did some draft comparisons. We talked about forgotten players. I want to talk about some of the NBA's dirtiest players of all time. And there's a lot to choose from. Some of these guys might have a reputation but aren't really dirty. But I kind of very interested to see what you guys came up with this. So give me, Britt, I'll start with you. Give me three of your dirtiest NBA players of all time.
All right, I'm going from 3-1. 3-1. So we're going to start with number three. I got to go with Zaza Pachulia. Zaza Pachulia. He was a dirty player.
That's a good
He's
one.
The reason yeah. why they came up with the Kawhi Leonard rule for the shooters.
Yep.
Now you got allowed the shooters to land because he stuck his foot under Kawhi's foot and he caused him to twist his ankle. But he used to take some cheap shots. He took a cheap shot on Russell Westbrook. I remember Westbrook was on the floor and he purposely fell on his legs. Like, who does that? That's how you know you dirty. And then he almost broke Kawhi's arm one time. He grabbed his arm and took him down to the ground. So Zaza was definitely a dirty player. I don't care what. Oh, he's a nice. Nah, on the court he was dirty. My next one, I gotta go with Ron. I gotta go with Ron Artest, aka Meta World Peace.
World Peace.
I have to. He used to pull down people's shorts. He blew in the ear of LeBron James, and I started to question him
Stevens,
a little bit about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then y'all remember when he elbowed James Harden in the back of his head, trying to talk about, oh, I was just celebrating. I didn't know he was here. You knew he was there.
Yeah.
Come on now. Like, come on. And for those who don't know, he's probably one of the most modern players who actually got suspended a lot for doing quite a few cheap shots and destroyed a camera at the Madison Square Garden. So, he was a dirty player. And then my number one overall dirty player to me of all time in the NBA was Bill Lambert. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Yes, you
did. And the Detroit Pistons. I'm going to put the whole Detroit Pistons in there, but if I had to choose a player, Bill Lambert, 6'11 center, he was one of the dirtiest players of all time. He body slammed Larry Bird to the ground. He every time he would contest shots, he would poke somebody in the eye. Like, he took so many cheap shots. He grabbed MJ's arm when he went up in the air and threw him down to the ground. So when Lambert, he was trying to hurt you. And players knew he was trying to purposely hurt you. And I think he was also the most hated player in the NBA. He had fights with everybody. MJ, Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing. Nobody liked this guy. That's my problem.
Yeah, no, that's great stuff. Like, Lambert, like, if you go back and watch some of his stuff on YouTube, like, you're not even sure if you're watching basketball. Like, it was that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of the fights that he got in with Larry Bird, like, that would not be tolerated at all in today's NBA. So those are definitely three good ones. All right, K-Walk, what you got?
Yeah, I'm going to start where Britt left off. Number three for me was Bill Lambert for everything that Britt laid out. I mean, we know the bad boys and the Michael Jordan rules, the Jordan rules, I should say. We know that, you know, that how many fights they got into, and that's what ultimately got Mike, you know, over the hump. And then, you know, that from the mental standpoint. So, yeah, Bill Lambert was my top three dirtiest player of all time. Number two, I'm going to stay, you know, kind of like on the Pistons term, Pistons theme here. It seems to be, and that's because you mentioned Microwave Johnson earlier, Jay, in the show. But I'm going to go with Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman was one of those guys who was just constantly just get under your skin. elbow you, trip you, whatever the case may be. And you, we all know Dennis Rodman and how he was, even when he was with the Bulls. I mean, you know, with the things that he did with Karl Malone, I get it. You know, he's trying. It was more a psychological advantage he was trying to gain there. I get that, but he's still dirty nonetheless. Number one, I mean, I don't think people, a lot of people don't realize this guy is very dirty. Bruce Bowen from the San Antonio Spurs. I think that guy was the most dirtiest player that I've ever seen. I mean, there are a lot, Jay. I mean, I can go on and on, but just to narrow it down to three was really tough. But those three are the ones that stick out for me. Bruce Bowen, you know, I just can't stand when I see him on TV. Now he's wearing the bow tie and everything like that, man. Like he's, you know, this stand-up guy, and, you know, he didn't do anything wrong, and, you know. But, yeah, Bruce Bowen was definitely a dirty guy, man. You mentioned Brett, the three-point shooters. He would, he would foul those guys just like, you know, your guy did as well. And then, you know, the pick and rolls as well. You could throw John Stockton as an honorable mention as well. So I'm going to go with Bill Laimbeer, number three, Dennis Rodman, number two, and Bruce Bowen, number one. And I'm throwing John Stockton there as my ultimate. I mean, as a alternative there right there.
Yeah, I wrote down a lot of names, and all these guys are on my list. But I'm going to pick up where you left off, K-Walk, with Bruce Bowen. He was my number three guy for all the reasons that you mentioned. And a good defender, but just some of the stuff that he did was very questionable, right? And then, Britt, I think you said Ron Artest. He was my number two guy for everything that you talked about, just some of the stuff that he did. Again, a great defender, but over the line in a lot of different cases. And then last but not least, I had to go with Bill Laimbeer as well, man. I was watching some footage of this guy. Larry Bird went down the lane one time, and he just, like, punched him in the face, man. And they're on the ground swinging. I mean, just not even making it look like a basketball play. So I had to go with Laimbeer as the dirtiest of all time. So I had Bowen, Artest, and then Laimbeer as my dirtiest player of all time. But good stuff there, guys. There was definitely a lot to choose from, but I think we got the best ones out of between the
Detroit
three of us.
Detroit Pistons, to be honestly, the whole Detroit Pistons bad boys, they just
really take it all.
Yep.
And Bill Laimbeer was leader of that. So there you go.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, you could have threw. Who was the big guy? Who was that big guy on the Pistons? Was it Mahorn? Rick Mahorn. You could throw him in that as well. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, last thing before we wrap this up. All right. The game, last second. We got one shot left, you know. The game's on the line. Let's make the stakes higher. Your life's on the line. You need one player to make a shot for you. You need one player to make a shot for you. And K-Walk, I said no MJ, just because
I know
where you and I were going to go without him taking. So MJ's out.
Yeah.
MJ's retired. He's playing baseball, so no MJ. K-Walk, game's on the line. Your life's on the line. Who's going to shoot that shot for you?
All
and
right,
it better
so
not be
make...
a hero.
Stop it. Let me ask you this, Jay. Game's on the line, all right. What are we down now? What are we down now? We down two, we down one, we
down,
down what
one.
Do we need?
You just need a
down
bucket.
Down one.
You just need a bucket.
All right, I need a bucket. I'm down one. All right. It has to be it doesn't matter if it's a jump shot or not. We just need a bucket. All right, so with that being said, I'm going to go with my, you know, this is a, wow, Jay, this is really a tough one. I'm going to go with Steph, man. I'm going to go with the greatest shooter of all time. So I'm going to, have to say Steph. If we call him the greatest shooter of all time, I cannot not say Steph. So I'm going to go Steph Curry.
Okay. Hey, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. He was definitely on my short list, so I'm not mad at it. Britt, where are you going on this one?
Hey, Walt, just to let you know, he has missed some in the clutch. Okay.
Yeah, he has. So is MJ. So is MJ.
I love Steph, but he has missed quite a few. I'm a cheat on this one, guys. I'm sorry. But he's just confident, extreme, probably one of the most clutch players ever in the history of the NBA. I got to go with MJ's protege. Kobe. I got to go with Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
Now, he never lets you down. He wants the ball in those moments. Like, he's like, give me the ball, and I promise you I'm going to make it, especially if you challenge it. So if he knows your life is on the line, he's going to drill it for you. There is a reason why we count down from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then we scream out who? Kobe.
Kobe.
There's a reason for that. So
I don't.
And only Kobe Bryant.
I say MJ. That's a young kid saying that. I don't say that.
Here he goes.
I'm saying that's a young kid. Dude. That's a young kid thing. I ain't me. I'm MJ all day.
All right, good stuff, Britt. Yeah, look, you can't go wrong with Kobe. He's definitely on my short list as well.
Can't go wrong with
I'm going a little off the grid here. I'm going a little different. As I start thinking about this, I said, I got to pick somebody whose shot is not going to be bothered, who the defense is not going to matter. So I'm going way back here. I'm going Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, man. Throw it to Kareem and let him throw that sky hook. You know the defense isn't going to bother him. It's just going to be whether or not he can make the shot. So I'm going with Kareem on this one to win the game and to save my life. What y'all think about Kareem?
I can't be mad at that, Jay. I really can't be mad. That is the most unguardable shot in the history of basketball, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Like this. Even people trying to emulate that shot, and they can't get it down. They try to do some form of it, and it's still not right. Literally, that
abbreviated
shot
version.
Is owned, copyrighted, everything by Kareem. He's been the only one who has been able to do it since he's done it in the NBA. So, yeah, I agree with Carol. It's the most unguardable shot ever.
Yeah, even Magic,
he
hit some big-time shots against the Celtics, and they called it the baby skyhook. They can't even call it a skyhook. It's a baby skyhook. So,
Yeah, for sure. All right, good stuff, guys. Let's get ready to get out of here, but let's do our Who's Ballin' segment before we do. Every week we want to just shout out somebody that's been playing great or even a team that's been playing great and just shine a little bit of light on somebody that's been absolutely balling. So, K-Walk, I'll start with you this week. Who's balling?
All right, I'm not going to go with the obvious, man. You know, I'm going to go with a Heat guy, but it's not the obvious guy. I'm going to go with Max Strus here, man. I'm going to go with Max Strus, man. Max Strus had 20 points last night, and he had I think we have 19 the other night in game five. So this guy, ever since he's been implemented into the inserted into the starting lineup for the Heat, he's been absolutely balling. So I loved him last night. He came out fired up. He knew that in game four when he was in Philly, he knew he missed some open shots, and he came out in game five and game six and said that, listen, I'm not missing any open shots anymore. You give me the opportunity, I'm going to do it. So my man Max Strus was balling.
All right, absolutely. I'm going to go second here just so Britt doesn't steal my guy. I'm going Al Horford. I mean, this guy has just gone back into the time machine. He's been fantastic. I mean, to be 36 years old and playing the way that he's been playing the last couple games, Al Horford has been absolutely balling.
You know what? Before, and I was going to wait for this at the end, but before I tell you who's my balling pick, I do want to shout out the legend, because we didn't talk about him. Recently passed away, Pistons and Bucks legend, Bob Lanier.
Bob Lanier,
for those who don't know, go check. Yeah. Hall of Fame, big man. Woo, awesome.
Yes.
Probably one of the best big men in the history of the NBA. Unfortunately, he recently passed away, so he's my honorable balling mention today. So,
good call.
So for my actual balling person, I got to shout out the entire Bucks team. The Bucks team and what they did in game five, especially in that comeback victory in the fourth quarter to take the 3-2 series lead against the Celtics. Jrue Holiday was a clutch, not only on the defensive side of the ball, but the offensive side of the ball. He made a huge three and got a huge block on Marcus Smart. And also, Giannis dropped 40 points in that game. 40 points, and they came back and won. That game was just the most exciting series in all of basketball right now, by the way. But the Bucks was balling.
Absolutely. That's a great call. I'm I've kind of become a Celtics fan somehow just watching this series. I find myself rooting for the Celtics, so hopefully those Bucks aren't balling too much tonight. But you're right, Britt. They've been fantastic the last couple times out. All right, let's wrap it up, guys. Britt, it's the weekend. What are you looking forward to this weekend? And tell the people where they can find you, social media, and all that good stuff.
All right, so I'm looking forward to finish up the second round of the series, and I'm really interested to see who's going to be in the Eastern Conference, because I don't see you guys till next Friday. So who's going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, because that's definitely going to be a big one for a little bit. I think it's 20 to 24 right now, so I'm going to finish watching this game as soon as we're done here. but, you know, just see what's going on with the rest of the basketball world. Bunch of series, so let's continue to watch that. You guys can find me, and I do have Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I have all the same name, at Brittany Monique. I will spell it for you again, at B-R-I-T-N-E. Kind of see it, my name there, Monique. So at Brittany Monique, that, again, that's on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. It's all the same name. And you can find us on YouTube, for those who are watching us on YouTube, the Shoot Around BJK podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like, and comment.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff, Britt. Yeah, I'm like you. I'm just looking forward to these games this weekend. Should be some good games that we get, some big games, some important games. So I just can't wait to see how these games are going to play out. You can find me on social media, on Instagram and TikTok, at Jason Talk Sports. It's the same on both. So check me out, at Jason Talk Sports. Hey, Walk, what about you, man? What are you looking forward to this weekend?
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to, as Britton said, I'm just looking forward to see who's going to be in these conference finals, you know, for sure, see who my Miami Heat are going to face. You know, I know I know the angel says be careful what you ask for. You know, I know you always ask me, Jay, who I want the Heat to see. You know what? I'd rather way that the Bucks are playing. I just hope the Celtics can pull this one off, because the Bucks are looking really scary right now, and they don't even have Chris Middleton in the mix right now. So I'm, you know, just whomever the Miami Heat faces, I'm looking forward to that series for sure. And the other series, just see if Luka and the Mavericks can pull off, you know, one of the greatest performances and beat these guys, and also see what the Golden State Warriors do as well. As far as social media goes, you can catch me on Twitter, Kevin Walker 142, and on Instagram, Kevin.Walker 142 as well. And obviously, you can catch us on YouTube now. So I'm looking forward to that. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to apologize for my mic not being open in the beginning of the show, but I got it fixed out. We got it fixed, I hope. And so next week we'll do a lot better for sure. We'll get better every day.
All right, good stuff, guys. That was another great one for the books. Listeners, we appreciate you listening to the Shoot Around podcast. For Brittany Jones and Kevin Walker, I'm Jason Collins. We'll see you next Friday at 7 p.m.